Hey, C-Lab fans, listen up, because I've got some great news for you. All over, executives are scrambling to find effective ways to retain customers and increase product engagement. What's the solution? Training customers right from the start. But without the proper tools, that's easier said than done. So let me tell you about Gainsight CE, the game changer in digital customer education. Gainsight CE blends the dynamic nature of digital learning with the importance of meeting those intrinsic human needs that accelerate user adoption, deepen product understanding, and drive customer success, all without sacrificing that personalized attention your customers long for. Say goodbye to time-consuming and hard-to-track one-on-one trainings, endless emailings of PDFs, and help center links. And the best part, your learning program can be embedded seamlessly in your platform. Don't take my word for it. Industry leaders like Walmart, Pipedrive, Glassdoor, and Freshworks choose Gainsight CE for their customer training program. So get started today. Visit gainsight.com/customer-education and tell them Adam and Dave sent you.
Welcome to C-Lab, the customer education lab, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and bad advice that stop growth dead in its tracks. I'm Adam Evermescu, and I am delighted to be here with today's guest, Mark Killens. Hello, Mark.
Adam, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show as well. And like I was starting to say here in the pre-show, but I'll say it again for everybody. You know, we started the show in 2018, and if at the time I had to make a list of, you know, the top voices, the top guests that would be our dream guest to have on the show, you were right at the top of that list. And for some silly reason, I never actually thought to just reach out to you and ask you to be on the show. So it's one of those life lessons, right? Where I'm so glad that we're doing it now, but probably should have done this a lot earlier, huh?
Hey, you know, it's happening. It happens. So that's what matters.
Exactly. That's what matters. And I mean, regardless, I'm just so delighted that you're joining us. Because for our listeners, just Mark, a bit into your background to frame things up, as my co-host Dave always likes to say. You are, first and foremost, a lot of your journey goes back to founding HubSpot Academy, an iconic customer education program, and also having led various content, education, community initiatives and functions across Drift. Where were you most recently? Air Meet. Thank you. Yeah, I get Air Meet and Air Call confused. So apologies for that. But now, really starting your own venture with Club PF and TAC GTM, and really want to talk to you about that today as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Customer education. I got a lot to share about that, because I don't think it should just be called customer education. I understand why people do it. But if you just focus on educating your customers, you're missing a huge opportunity. So I've always had kind of a beef with that name. Happy to dive into that as well. But I know this is the Customer Education Podcast, so I don't want to be disrespectful by any means either.
It's not disrespectful, Mark. I mean, I first of all, I've heard you on other podcasts talking about this, right? How you think it should be like market education or something like that.
Yeah, but you're educating the market,
Yeah, I mean, I think we say customer sometimes because what's the most generic term? We say, if you say prospects, you're implying people who aren't your customers yet, but not your customers. If you say customers, you only mean your current customers or people who might become your customers. So I don't know. Do you have an opinion? What's a better term?
I mean, I think it's, market education. I think buying or buyers, right? You're educating the buyers, you're educating your customers, you're educating people. But at the end of the day, It's even less about the term. It's more about like education should be a fundamental pillar in how you go to market. And it could be, the traditional type of education where it's structured learning and, you go through a live or on-demand type of cohort course type experience, or it could be in the form of education that's coming from someone who your audience trusts, respects, likes to listen to, and it's micro education. And it's the whole spectrum in between. But it's about adding unique value to someone's understanding of something or introducing a new concept to them to help them with something they're trying to get better at, learn more about, solve. So yeah, education though is to me just a pillar of how you go to market today.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of things, like on one hand, that means that the definition of customer education or market education, it's broader than just delivering training to your current customers, which I think is what you're getting at right now. It's not just current customers, it's the entire life cycle from, you know, the very beginning of awareness and evaluation all the way to renewing and growing your existing relationships. But it's also more than just education, meaning training. It's all the different ways that you can help your customers and prospects learn and grow, right?
Yes. I mean, education, content, community, media, all of those terms, those words have a ton of different meanings, can be used in a ton of different contexts. So that's where it gets, you know, tricky. But yes, I mean, if you look at one of our customers now who's creating a new category around decarbonization planning, they actually have to educate way more pre-sale than post-sale. Like if they don't focus on educating pre-sale, the chance that they'll be as successful as they want to be is much lower because no one knows what this is, right? It's like inbound marketing. If people didn't learn about inbound marketing pre-sale, like why would they become a customer? Because I mean, at the end of the day, sure, it's a blogging tool. It was an SEO tool, etc. But there was a bigger story and a different approach to using those tools together. So what education really tries to do is help you understand something with a greater sense of context, in a greater frame of reference, with usually the adaptation or the adoption of new technology, because that is creating a necessity to educate someone because they don't understand the new technology, but they also don't understand this new approach, the new how to do something to ultimately get to some type of outcome.
Yeah. And, you know, we actually found some very old customer education books, one from 1984 and one from 1992, I think. And one thing that's actually really interesting is that actually is the history of customer education, right? Like the first people to ever use those terms were talking about educating the market, not just current customers in a SaaS environment, right? SaaS didn't even exist yet. So this was actually about building a market for your customers and in a way assisting with category creation. And I would pull some of those themes out of your journey that when I look across your roles, you know, starting with HubSpot, moving through Drift, Airmeet, like everything that you have done has been in some ways about expanding the aperture of what customer education can do and really using it in service of category creation, right? So what you've been across content, community, training, all of these different pieces, and really figuring out all of the different things that they can do. So maybe we can just take a step back and start from the beginning. Like, can you take us a little bit through how you founded HubSpot Academy? What was the initial impetus? And then how you were able to expand it to the point where really it was such a driver of category creation?
Yeah, I mean, the story goes back to like 2008 when I was a HubSpot customer. I was a customer using HubSpot, seeing how powerful it was. But then after the first 90 days of onboarding, there was kind of nothing left. There was a lot of good, you know, content and education about the facets of inbound marketing without the context of how to use HubSpot. So again, there was something missing. So I joined HubSpot, lucky enough, back in like, you know, kind of early 2010. And within about 4 months, decided to do a nights and weekends project. It was very much encouraged at HubSpot at the time. And that became Content Camp, which about a year and a half later, after showing results, got funded as a 3-person team. And the rest is kind of history. So the whole idea, though, is how do you help your customers be better at using your software in the context of the jobs to be done they're trying to accomplish with the software to ultimately get to the value. I think the best SaaS businesses are focused on a value-oriented messaging framework with a very compelling, differentiated story and premise to that story. So it's both those things together. And if you use like the why, how, what framework to help you frame that, it becomes very practical in the application of either a use case, a job to be done, a workflow. So we were very focused on figuring out how to productize the content into education. Mm-hmm. I think that's what good education is in the context of anything. Look at colleges. They just productized education. I mean, that's all it is, right? So I think that's what SaaS businesses have to think about doing, both pre-sale and post-sale. And after about, you know, doing it for a year or two, after we got funded, 2013, it started to become, even 2012, it became very obvious that this should be something that helps HubSpot grow and create demand. So good education creates demand, captures demand, and converts the demand into advocacy. And that's what we saw happen. So we said, let's open this up to the world. Let's open this up to schools, universities, agencies, partners. I mean, the amount of programs we built within the team was pretty astonishing. And now it's one of the biggest, you know, ways people kind of get introduced to HubSpot and learn how to use the free products. So again, it's having a long-term vision is important, but it also depends on your business model. I think that the key for people listening is when you think about education, you have to think about it in the context of how you go to market, what is your aspirations as a company, and make investment decisions using that frame. Because if you think you want to build another HubSpot Academy, I would argue most businesses probably don't want to do that or shouldn't do that unless they're trying to become a $100 million+ business. If you are, then yes, build HubSpot Academy. If you aren't, you might want to take a different approach.
This episode is brought to you by Vidyate. Vidyate automates the creation of software videos, making it super fast and easy to produce up-to-date content with every new release. From script to screen, with no in-between, you're able to skip all the manual labor of production by simply plugging in a script to the platform and then watching that video come to life in real time. Check it out today at vidyate.io.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I think there's a really good lesson already in there for building the type of educational programs that are going to drive a discrete set of business goals and outcomes, and letting that also determine what channels and what programs fall into that holistic customer education program to drive certain outcomes for a certain audience. And I think a lot of people like just look at the outcome or just look at the content first, and they're like, oh, let me just build that. And you're like, well, why are you building that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going to focus first. Well, you're not first. You have to figure out how to design the education. It's basically education is structured package content. I'm definitely simplifying it down, but that's how I think about it, in a way that helps get the customer to the right outcome or the buyer to the right outcome, but then also the person or the people in the company who's using that in the context of how they're measured, and then ultimately to the financial metric. So yeah, it's like three layers at least of how you think about tying outcomes together to then say, look, we need or should have education to help us get to those outcomes.
Yeah, and I've heard you talk about this before, the idea that if you're starting to think, you know, with starting from the end in mind, thinking outcome first, then you can start to talk about, you know, with much greater, I think, detail and conviction about the role that education plays. So for instance, you know, I've heard you talk about this, thinking about the role that education plays in a traditional marketing funnel. A more educated customer is more likely to convert, more likely to be an informed buyer and a better customer, yep. Right? Because they are more educated. Was that something that you were able to, I guess, validate or substantiate through your programs?
We validated that at every company: HubSpot, Drift, Aramit. It is straight up validation. So, you know, the question is, you know, how much can a company motivate someone to that point? That's a very hard question to answer. I think the biggest thing you can do today is partner with people that your buyers and customers already have some type of relationship with. It doesn't have to be like a direct relationship, like they're friends, but like they follow them, they know about them, they respect them, they trust them. They're, you know, they have authority in your space, and partner with them to deliver education to your buyers and customers. Right, that is, to me, that is such an obvious thing companies should be doing, but so few do it. They do the traditional approach of, we're going to create education internally. The better ones create it through their subject matter experts in their company. The even better ones create it through the voice of their customer. The best do all of that, plus this idea of like partnering with other people in the ecosystem, in your industry space, to deliver knowledge in a way that's going to get someone to be influenced faster and further through the ideas that are shared through that person's voice. So that is probably like the way in which you can fast track some of this contribution in a direct way to your bottom line. If you try to just do it and say, hey, look, we just created some education and go check it out. And the people who deliver that education aren't well known, respected, aren't like part of the community, aren't in the conversations. It's not going to work as well, straight up.
Yeah. So in a way, it's on one hand, using the competencies that we bring as customer education professionals who know the craft, who know how to take raw subject matter expert and turn it into something that's engaging and has an outcome, but using actual humans with actual credibility who have an actual relationship to your customer or prospect base to form those connections and to actually use authenticity. So like what I hear you talking about now is the idea of tying customer education to, I think, what you would call people first go-to-market or people first GTM, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, 100%. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that concept? Because I think, you know, talking about category creation, people first GTM isn't something I really heard about before you started talking about it. So I'd love if you could introduce that concept.
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea of how do you use storytelling, which is education, right? Like storytelling and education go hand in hand, relationships and partnerships to fuel your go-to-market. And the whole reason why it needs to exist and why companies need to change how they go to market is companies now are using an approach that doesn't match to how people buy things today. They fundamentally, for most companies, they use a very antiquated approach because they're using channels, tactics, creating things in a way that is more about how they think about the world versus how buyers think about the world. Mm-hmm. And because the internet has shifted so much from being search dominated to social dominated, you have to change how you think about building trust with your audience. And so what's happening is there's a lot of just generic, very vanilla go-to-market happening. And because there's so much more fighting for attention, that generic go-to-market, that company-first model of the brand representing itself in the marketplace versus people representing the brand in the marketplace just doesn't work as well. I mean, you see it across all these different stats, right? The number of interactions that have to happen before someone becomes a buyer is going up and up and up. The number of people not filling out forms, the conversions, right? The inefficiency, the rate, the increase in CAC, all these things are, you know, just flashing, you know, at people's on people's dashboards to say, my go-to-market needs help. It needs to change. And a lot of this is because we've been so focused on software. We've been so focused on channels. We've been so focused on algorithms. We've been so focused on growth hacks. We've forgotten what actually makes people buy, which is storytelling, relationships, and partnerships. So when you think about people first go-to-market, it's about rethinking what you think of as channels. It's using content, events, and products to build trust and to teach. All three of those things can build trust and teach at the same time. And it's really fundamentally using a partnership-centric model to market, to sell, to service your customers. So when you think about education, again, that's why I think it's a pillar of go-to-market. I could argue that it should be a pillar of the people-first approach, right? It's not just storytelling. It's storytelling, education, relationships, and partnerships. Because what do people want to learn, right? They want to learn from other people. A crazy example is just people watching gaming. Like, why are they watching gaming? There's some entertainment value, but they're also learning. Subconsciously, what's happening is they're learning how to play a game. So that is how, and they're learning from people that they respect. They like, hey, this person's an amazing gamer. Like, wow. So there's just so many parallels.
Well, they're often also finding a community, right? Like if they're on Twitch and it's not just their connection even to the person who's playing the game. It's to, right? It's what's up chat, right? It's interacting with the rest of that community.
Yeah, I mean, it's being part of the conversation, right? So that's why, for community-led growth, we think of it as the conversations happening in spaces that you don't have direct ownership of as a business. Like, we call them rented spaces, but that is like the tip of the spear these days. Because it's not so much about back in the day, before, the advent of mobile and the advent of social networks and the advent of messaging, which was really like pre-2005, it was search, right? So you're like, okay, the start of it was like, get found through search, right? That's HubSpot, right? Now instead it's attracting people, and it's not just attracting people. The first step is actually engaging people. It's interesting where the inbound methodology today still, I think, is like attract, engage, delight. It was one of the last things I worked at with HubSpot. I actually think, if HubSpot wants to, keep that and stay relevant with it, they should change that a bit now. Because it's not so much about, it is attracting, but I think the way you attract people is through what you just said, engaging in the conversation in all these different places where people are participating. Because like attracting them through the traditional sense of like search and just posting stuff on social to attract them, it's not going to work as well, or just doesn't at all.
Yeah. Because you feel like you're being talked at a certain point. So like you're kind of calling out two things that don't work. And I want to dig into these a little bit to think about how we as customer education professionals can actually, take these to a more productive place. One is the idea that, we as a business are going to talk at you, and we're going to tell you our value props and our selling points, and you're going to listen, and that's somehow going to influence you. And you're saying that's not really how that works, right? You want to build trusting, engaging networks that kind of meet people where they are, and also build enough trust that when you're not in the room, they're talking about you still in a way that feels authentic, relevant, and hopefully positive as well. And the other thing that I hear you calling out is that we can't really think about this, I know even at HubSpot, there was always this like, it's not about a funnel, it's about a flywheel. And you're kind of calling out this idea, right, that we can't just look at lead generation as this impersonal thing where we get enough people to fill out a form, and then magically that somehow means that they are going to be our customers. Like, we have to engage with them again in more relationship oriented versus transactional ways. So if I get that right, like, you can kind of draw a distinction, which I heard you getting at earlier, so I want to pull on this thread, between content on one hand, creating content, and actually educating customers, building those relationships. Like, can you help draw that thread out more? And like, if you're creating content today, how do you actually make that truly more helpful and more, I guess, educational?
Well, you don't use AI. You use AI in a very limited fashion, number one. So okay. Using a lot of AI to write your content, this is bad ideas. The way you should approach it is by interviewing people and maybe having AI help you summarize it, organize it. But the best content comes from the perspective of people who have lived or are living what you're trying to better understand. Until AI is real time, which I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Like literally AI is listening to this conversation and it's learning from it in real time across the entire world, basically.
Yep.
I mean, it's not real time, right? There's always going to be a little, and they also, the AIs, whatever you want to call it, the LLMs, whatever, they don't have context into what's happened in the past. They don't, there's just so much missing. So this goes back to storytelling. This goes back to leaning into the relationships that you could form with people to help you create content that's going to strike a nerve. Because ultimately, like, you need to get someone to believe something probably before you get them to learn something, right? Like, I believe that I need this educational experience with college because of these reasons. Like, if you don't believe that, like, why would you go to college? Like, you're not going to probably. Like, belief comes before learning. So to me, that's it, basically, right? So when you think about content, how do you get someone to believe something so they want to consume more, want to learn more?
Yeah, I think that's a really good distinction. And, you made me think a little bit about this a moment ago. Like, this is going to be a little bit of a sidetrack, but It was grinding my gears a little bit. I saw this on LinkedIn recently. Someone was sharing a point of view, and this was someone in the customer success world, was sharing a point of view that you as a business should not create a university or an academy for your customers. And the reason for that is that, you know, when customers hear that, they don't want to engage with, you know, a big, like, they don't want to think about textbooks. They don't want to think about going to school. They don't want to think about like formal long investments going into the LMS, all of that. So what this person was saying is, what you should do instead is just create 2-minute videos, create 2-minute videos for everything, put them in your help center, and take your existing customer calls and take the customer out of it and just leave the part where you're talking. And then you have your educational content. And I was reading that and I was thinking, like, if you are like seed stage company and you just need content to be out there and you need coverage, that might be good. But like hearing you talk about this now, and specifically hearing you talk about universities, like, it makes me think, like, what that does do is provide a pretty quick reference. Most of that could actually be done by AI with like very little loss of fidelity, by the way.
Yep.
But what that doesn't do is create belief. It doesn't create a unique point of view. It doesn't create a human connection to the brand. So, like, I'm just curious what you think of that advice. Like,
well, yeah, because that's just product education. Well, that's just product education.
Are you looking to elevate your live training offerings? Strico's virtual classroom brings the power of learning by doing to remote training, making it super easy to deliver highly engaging, hands-on customer training sessions remotely. Unlike conventional conferencing tools, Strigo allows your trainers to see customers interacting with your product during practice and offers just-in-time, one-on-one collaborative guidance so you can give your customers the premium learning experience that they deserve. Join leading customer education teams and instantly enjoy higher learning engagement and satisfaction. Visit strigo.io, that's strigo.io today, to get your demo. Be sure to mention C-Lab for a 1-month free trial and the first 5 training sessions for free.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So, like, yeah, sure. That's nice product education, product walkthroughs, but that's only going to get you so far, right? Like, I don't think what we've been talking about. I think what we've been talking about is this idea of how do you use education to fuel your business's growth in a very strategic way. That's a tactical thing that fits into like customer education. Very tactical, right? I would argue, right? And yeah, that is, you know, depending on the stage of the business and again the aspirations of the business, you know, you should probably do that to help you reduce your COGS and, you know, help scale and whatnot. But yeah, I just that to me is a tactic.
Yeah, yes, and is probably like limited thinking in the sense that you're right. It's only using customer education, and here we can even put customer education in quotes, like as probably a way to keep customer contact rate down, deliver basic product education, but you're not building any sort of relationship or connection to your customers. You're not teaching them how to be better at their jobs to be done. You're not investing in their careers. So like what sort of long-term connection are you creating? You're going to leave that all to your CSMs, and your CSMs are going to get overloaded because they're having to fill the gaps that actually a thoughtful, well-designed, authentic, people-first GTM approach could actually build.
Yeah, well, you're not building two things like with that approach. You're not going to really build a community, and you're not going to really build an ecosystem. You're going to build, hopefully, people that are better at using your product, and like, yeah, deflect support. Like I said, keep costs on the, you know, customer delivery side down. But, you know, is it going to help you do those two other things? Like really build a army of advocates and a community that's active and talking and that you can actually turn into an owned community at some point. And also create a larger ecosystem around whatever you're trying to build? Probably not.
Yeah. So let's say that, you know, I'm in the position, I'm a customer education leader, or maybe I'm even like a digital customer success leader, or I don't know, maybe I'm in content marketing and I have product education, I have the help center and the knowledge base, but I'm really looking to take it to the next level. I'm really looking to thread together my content, my community, my education, like all the pillars that you discussed, like how would you, what are the first steps that I should take to start to move towards this world where we're putting people at the center of the learning experience?
Talk to your marketing team. Start with maybe product marketing or maybe the content team. This has got to start with marketing. And the model we use at Drift is the content, community, education was all like a centralized team. I think, and this is very, very, very rare. I hate seeing, you know, there's a customer education team, a content team, another content mm-hmm. team at companies. I think it's just such a bad approach. Yeah, like if my company ever gets big enough, or if I'm ever a CEO of a company, like I will mandate that there are centralized functions that are better designed to create much more consistent customer experiences, but also create the like much more efficiency when it comes to this content creation, right? Because if you're creating a piece of content and you're thinking about how it can be used in all facets of the customer journey from the get-go, you're naturally going to do things much differently and better. So how does it get started though is with your marketing team, because you have to bring the story of the brand, the solution, the product to life through all this. Customer education people, it sounds like, you know, the example you just gave, start on the product level, which is good, fine, but to elevate it to the level of like it's going to have massive impact on the business, it's kind of transform how the business goes to market, it's got to start with marketing.
Yeah. So I think there's already a mandate in there. You know, if you're listening to this or watching this and you're a customer education person, but your remit starts and stops at product, regardless of if you have like a pre-sales, post-sales distinction, like that's a different topic. If you start and stop at product, that's already probably a mandate to start thinking about it differently, right? Like start thinking not about the product, start thinking about the job to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what I'm hearing from you?
No one buys a product. What people are buying is an outcome, you know, a way to solve their problems. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if your product doesn't help them change their outcomes, they will most likely cancel.
Yeah. Yeah. And in any subscription business or SaaS or right, like I'm obviously this is going to be different for like consumer packaged goods or something like that, manufacturing, but for any subscription model, you're constantly selling, right? Like renewal is selling. Activating a license is selling because you always have to be convincing someone to use more of your product and to continue to use it over time. So like when you're talking about the idea of buying a product, like I'm not reading that as only what we would traditionally call just like the pre-sales funnel. Like we're talking about a constant process of buying your product.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there's of course different abstractions of products, right? Some are just like so fundamental, like you need to have a phone most likely to live these days. Right. And you need to have a CRM to do business. Right. You know, so, and then there's like, you know, from there, there's all the way up to like, oh, this is just a fun little thing, like whatever. Like, so yeah, you have to see where your product fits in that. But that gets back into like, yeah, product design and you know, what is the problem you're solving and, you know, how strong and important is that problem? And is that problem a necessity? Like it's not even like a question, like the problem has to be solved versus, you know, the problem should really be solved to be better or it's kind of nice to have, you know? So that's the other thing you have to think about too, when it comes to your like education and content and everything. It's just like, what is the level of importance of what you're actually providing and creating in the mind of the buyer?
Yep. Yep. What problems are you actually solving for them? Like they're not going to like, and this is where I think there was some truth to that LinkedIn post I was talking about, like people aren't going to go through your entire academy for the sake of going through your academy, right? It's not recreational for them. You have to be pointing your education at solving real problems for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and some of them could be business related. Some of them could be personal related. Some could be both. It depends on what is the long-term ambition of you creating that type of experience, right? Like for HubSpot, we were doing it to create a defensible moat around the business. Like it was very intentional that this was going to be a very strategic long-term play that is going to have, you know, compounding effects.
Yeah.
Because we were trying
and
to be
one of the reasons why you were able to create and own the category of inbound marketing and like everything else that HubSpot's expanded into since. So Mark, we're getting towards the end of our time. I want to be sensitive to the deadline here, but maybe we can do this before we start to wrap up. Like,
sure.
You work with a lot of different companies as your clients. You see really great examples of people first GTM in the wild. Like, tell us, and this can be, you know, either companies that you're working with or just ones that you're seeing, who's doing this really well? Like, what are some examples of people first GTM done really well?
So, I mean, if you just go to LinkedIn, the companies that are representing themselves through LinkedIn using actual people, that's a great example of community-led growth. So, you know, there's a ton of SaaS businesses that are now picking up on this. I mean, one really interesting one is actually ZoomInfo. ZoomInfo, now, if you look at what Henry's doing as a CEO, he has changed his entire approach to how he's representing his brand. It's like not ZoomInfo talking about this stuff, but like he just did a post today. He does posts all the time about his perspective and how, yeah, of course, it relates to ZoomInfo's, you know, story and perspective. Great example, right? And then there's small companies down to companies like RevSure.ai doing this as well, right? So it's a huge gamut. You know, we have a company called Audette, A-U-D-E-T-T-E, climate tech company doing this now. And some people call this like founder-led, you know, kind of a founder-led approach. I mean, sure, that's a part of it. That's one person, but it's got to be more than one person who's participating in this, right? So what Justin, you know, Levy is doing at ZoomInfo now with all those programs on the community side, it's fantastic. So that's interesting. Then you look at the events, right? More event-led growth, which is the offers that you put into the market. I would argue like Salesforce is still the king of this. That, you know, they do. I was at an event the other week, you know, listening to, I guess he just is leaving Salesforce, Colin Fleming, their CMO. And he was saying they do 500 hosted events a year, like the ones they host.
Yeah.
Not the dump, wild. To mention all the events they go to. Like that is building community and education like in real time, right? So that's a great example. Again, you don't have to do 500 events. You could do one great thing a month to bring people together to create connection, community, education, teach, like, right, to bring people into the brand, right? But again, a good event is very people first. Then you have companies that are doing some interesting things with a different take on like product-led growth. An interesting one is Nevatic. And actually, Nevatic could be a great company for customer education people to look at because they allow you to create these really interactive product experiences with no code. So that's interesting. I guess my point is like there's a lot of people doing these seven different approaches in our model that we created. I think the ones that are really getting it right are going to be the ones who figure out how to take the audience they build through all these rented channels and through activating that audience through content, events, and say free products and pulling them into a more owned community experience where it's not, doesn't have to be in an actual community, like per se, where there's just tons of conversations. It's more like, here's a membership experience. We've created an owned community with a membership experience where we can deliver you all of this content education in one spot and rethink how you find and access things across our website. Like, and that's the other thing I think is really broken with companies right now. You know, I mean, HubSpot is too big to fix probably at this point, but you have a disparate amount of resources across a ton of different things, right? It you know, for HubSpot, it's an SEO play, right? They wouldn't change that because they don't want to affect their SEO. But like for other companies, there's a much better way to deliver that stuff in a way that gets them a lot more bang for their buck and a better customer experience. And I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of innovation around that facet of go-to-market. So yeah, I'm excited about that. Quick tangent on what I see coming, but resource centers are broken, blogs are broken, lots of change.
What's coming? What's coming to replace them? Instead of resource centers
what's coming?
And blogs. Yeah, what's going to replace
them? Oh, this membership experience. The membership experience like I was talking about. Like you're you know, it's I think it's subscriber, member, customer. That's the new funnel in my mind. You know, and that's how we're doing an attack. You subscribe to our People First GTM newsletter, you can subscribe to the TAC network, you become a member of Club PF. And then, yeah, you become a tech customer maybe down the road. But like, and we're seeing that funnel play out. And like, we're not a software business, yeah. Right? We're definitely more of a service business. So like that funnel is clearly playing itself out. You know, a company like Audience Plus, give them a shout out, who's thinking through this idea of a subscriber, but not a blog subscriber, a subscriber of content, which could include written content in a blog. But it's more about like, how do you subscribe to content like you would, like, you know, in your consumer life? You know, I'm going to subscribe to this thing, that thing, whatever, right? And like that ties then into the email strategy of the company. Instead of saying, well, here's all these things you sign up for, and the email strategy is all disjointed. No, the subscriber identity creates then the email strategy. And then, yeah, if you become a member, that changes as well. I just think the funnel is going to change for sure.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you want a good visual for that, listeners, like if you go to tackgtm.com, there's a really nice visual of this where you've got like community member and customer led growth in the center. And then you've got the channels surrounding that with, you know, content, events and products. So I think that could be a nice compliment. And also probably takes us into the last part where I ask, aside from people going to TAC GTM, what do you want folks to know about TAC or Club PF?
No, just learn more about people first go to market. That's because I do think that's going to help you guys grow your business. You folks listening, like clubpeoplefirst.com is where you can sign up for free. We have a lot of free resources. We have a premium side to the community as well. But we just want to educate people. Like, right, just join, hopefully, you know, understand the movement, believe in it, and join in and start learning about it. And I can promise you, it will help you be better at how you market, how you sell. Just start making those interactions and experiences your brand is creating more from the point of view and coming from people, less coming from like the point of view and from the brand's voice.
Well, Mark, it's been so great to hear from you. I'm so glad that we finally got you on the show. And this has been a great conversation.
Thank you, Adam. I've loved it. Thanks for having me. And all the best.
Thanks. Listeners, if you want to learn more, we have a podcast website at customer.education where you can find show notes and other material. And if you found value in this podcast, hey, I'm a person and I'm personally asking you to leave us a 5-star review on all the pod places where you can review podcasts. I'm on LinkedIn. You can always connect with me. Mark, are you on LinkedIn? Where do you want people to connect with you?
LinkedIn is it. Yeah, let's do it.
LinkedIn is the place, although hopefully an owned channel in the future, not a rented one. We'll thank Alan Coda for providing our theme music. And to our audience, thanks for joining us. Go out and educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks for listening.